Hey, everybody. Really great episode of the NFT show on YouTube. We discuss some of the negative sentiment towards Bored Ape Yacht Club and Yuga Labs right now, what realistic scenarios look like for the future of Yuga Labs, Bored Ape Yacht Club, CryptoPunks, and all of the assets in their ecosystems, and also the attention that's being put on certain subsections of the fine art market in NFT, specifically generative art, and some isolated pumps on artists like Grant Yun, and then maybe some of the artists who are not seeing the same level of success, or I should say the market is not favoring them in the same way. Overall, it's a great episode. Hope you enjoy it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NFT show. In today's show, we're going to be discussing how Yuga Labs NFTs are dropping, but art NFTs are popping. As usual, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. If you enjoy the show, share it with your friends. It really helps out with the viewership here on YouTube. And as always, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space and the crypto space is incredibly risky. So always do your own research. Nick, you're looking like, you got a lot of pizzazz today. I'd love to hear what you're thinking about Yuga Labs dropping while art is popping.
I'm thinking about these Bored Ape bitches. Yo, everyone, a bunch of whiny. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I never enjoyed hanging out with most Bored Apes. You know, some of them are nice, but the vast majority just absolute jerks, you know? And every time I hung out there, I was just like, what type of party is this? Bunch of losers. Dude, that's why I spend most of my time at home by myself, is because I just, that's where the real action's at. When it comes to, I mean, we already discussed it this morning in the sense that it's just been pretty awful in terms of the just amount of how much that people feel that they deserve, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a regular basis and are complaining otherwise. The reason that they're complaining is let's go back to the beginning.
Long time ago.
Long time ago, which was 2021. That's when Jesus was born. And so when you think about the beginning of sort of society at that moment in time, people were buying Bored Apes at $400, $250, $1,000, something like that, and just absolutely ecstatic about it being worth $2,000 or something. Now, these same people are basically spending all of their time complaining like some jerks about the fact that, like, this merch is gross. It looks like Nazi paraphernalia.
That merch is pretty whack.
It is whack. Outside of the fact that it is whack, I didn't even, like, buy into it expecting that I was going to get a hoodie. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, so now we got all these people just complaining, and to me that just seems like a little bit. It seems a little bit uncalled for.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair. Like, you would send them to jail if you could.
I would arrest them. I would imprison them. And back in my day, we used to actually we'd like hang them.
That's intense. But you know what?
It was a tough place that I grew up.
A different time. It was a different time. It really was. The world's accelerated quickly. I mean, I completely agree with Nick's take. I mean, I've seen it so much. I am not sinless in this regard. Like, yeah, you know, I have, you know, talked crap about a couple of projects that just really, you know, pissed me off. But like 90% of my like losses, I 99% of my losses, I've never blamed the team. I've never blamed the market. I've never blamed the community. You know what I mean? Like, cause I'm a grown ass man. I bought this stuff with my own money. If you don't like something, just sell and go away. It never really made sense to me that like people want to stay in and just complain all the time. Cause it's like, and then a lot of times you ask someone and you're like, well, why are you still here? And they're like, well, I still kind of believe though. And
it's also because they're addicted to Twitter.
Yes. Yes. They're addicted to that dopamine. And now it's just a negative dopamine. It's like everyone went from like some real high grade Vyvanse to like bathtub meth. You know what I mean? And it's just making everyone start to act weird.
I'm on the same page. Pio, what are you thinking?
I mean, I'm thinking that there's been some weird. I mean, look, that merch, I know I'm being like nitpicky. That merch is so whack. And basically all the merch that they've ever put out is, ugh. It's just this soundbite is going to sound rough, but like the merch is whack. Okay. They're building the next generation. They're building the new standard for metaverse platforms. And that's my prediction, is that it's going to be a really big deal. I do think that it's going to work out in the way that, you know, the most bullish case for it works out. I think it'll be a massive wave of adoption. I think it'll drive value to all the assets. I think that's fine. I do think that unlike the holders are being unreasonable. However, I think that the level of execution risk in the Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem across the board, including with some bleed over to CryptoPunks, is interesting. The reason being is, let's say they never bought CryptoPunks, right? Let's just say that that never happened. In a situation like that, there's literally zero execution risk for CryptoPunks. They're just eternally a historic NFT project, the grail asset, the blah, blah, blah. You can insert all that stuff here. Let's say there's massive execution risk and Bored Ape Yacht Club really suffers and Bored Apes have a bad, bad future. They lose 80% of their value. Does that not bleed over to CryptoPunks? Like, so what, CryptoPunks would just be up here and Bored Apes would be way, way down in the gutter? I have to think that there's some kind of bleed having CryptoPunks be a part of that ecosystem. I also think in a scenario like that, there would be a case where they would like shift to trying to build up CryptoPunks. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, right? I'm saying that I'm actually bullish on the future of it. But the level of execution risk is pretty gnarly with Yuga Labs, because you're betting on like a ambitious startup. Whereas if you had bet on Chromie Squiggles, and I think even if you place the bet now on Chromie Squiggles, all you're really betting on is adoption from the traditional art market when it comes to, and I can't click on Chromie Squiggles because OpenSea is the best platform. But anyway, you're betting on adoption by the traditional art market when it comes to fine art, you know, fine digital art. And Chromie Squiggles is the original art block. It's an original work of art, whether you think that it's whack or not. And it's kind of the thing that, you know, represents OG art blocks. And yeah, gotta love OpenSea. It's the best. It really works really well. Anyway, I don't know. Those are all my thoughts on Bored Ape Yacht Club. There's a lot of execution risk. The holders are being unreasonable. They're not going to get what they want. They're not going to get news. And that merch is really weird and whack.
Weird and whack. Wiggity whack, I think is accurate. In terms of execution risk, I think you're spot on, basically, where you have categorical risk for those that are bought in for the purpose of some future value. And that's where actually why, to your point, the art transition has been, has made a lot of sense. And that's something that I'm interested in as well. I wonder if Bored Apes themselves have the potential to transition to art.
Yeah.
And that's something where, like, I think it has to pull back and you need a changing of the holders of those that are basically invested in Bored Ape Yacht Club for the future execution, airdrops, et cetera. Right now, I view it, I said this before, I think we still have 50% downside potential with Bored Apes. And at that price, at 50K, I think that there's a lot of people that'll be...
I'd buy a Bored Ape. I'd get rid of this bum Moonbird. I'd buy a Bored Ape at 50K.
I think there's a lot of people that are going to be interested in transitioning in. And at that point, it becomes like identity. It becomes a piece of art. It becomes this, like, there is collectible value in it. I just don't know where that's calibrated. CryptoPunks exclusively trade on that.
Yeah.
And that's what they're priced at.
Yeah. So a couple other things. Have you guys thought about this? The Bored Ape founders are now running a $1.5 billion company. They didn't do that before. They didn't do that. And I understand Gaio Series like taking them under his wing and giving them access to like his Rolodex of opportunity. But I don't know, Nick, you're a person that calls this out a lot in the NFT space. Have they ever built a game before? Have they ever done this, that, and the other thing before? This XYZ person was on the couch a year ago. Now they're running a $1 billion business. Do you think about that at any point? Like, who are the guys that are running this business? Because you can make a case and say they're brilliant executors and they've done everything right and look at the results they've gotten so far. But at the same time, the roadmap has changed a lot. Their original plan was to drop another 100,000 other deed lands. That's not happened. Their original plan was to have ApeCoin staking. That hasn't happened. Obviously, we know why. Their original plan was to have more NFT assets, Mecha Apes and Mecha Dogs and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other thing. What happened to all that?
Well, the original question about, we already said there's execution risk. So that's very apparent. And it's especially the case with them. You know, Mark Zuckerberg didn't run a multi-billion dollar business before.
But he's a genius.
No, I know. But a specific type of genius, right? Like he's a genius that understood software. And that was it. I would say is his biggest strength was software, and then transitioning into seeing risk basically as it applied to their core business. I don't know who, like, if it was strictly him that drove the Instagram acquisition, but that was basically one of the best acquisitions of all time.
Yep.
WhatsApp, another acquisition.
And much remember, he was like 21, like 22, 23. You know, he's one of these like giga brain prodigies like Elon Musk in many ways, you know? So I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. Like, you know, this is one of those guys.
I understand. What we don't know. I mean, I don't, speaking with, you don't know, like you haven't worked with the Yuga Labs founders, basically. It doesn't give the same vibe though. And this isn't like, the real question is, is this a tech company? Is this a gaming company? It sounds like there's a gaming element, but what they are building is a Web3 business. And from that standpoint, they've been the best executors, like just hands down. That said, some of the best execute, well, you could argue with a Web 1.0, who was the best executor? Jeff Bezos, basically.
Yeah.
So like that's another
one of those guys. He's like a giga brain genius.
Yeah, and his execution was more on supply chain management. His execution was on being an expert at he working in a consultancy, essentially. So that's where his expertise is. Where the Bored Ape Yuga founders really excel is in their passion for Nazi fan fiction. And so for me, that to me is something that really sets them apart. When I think of some of the greatest geniuses of our time, I think of the Yuga Labs founders, I think of Kanye West. And I put both of those in terms of similar fans. The only distinction is like Kanye is not even actually as knowledgeable on the subject of anti-Semitism. If you listen to his interviews, he hasn't actually thoroughly researched it. So can't even give you commentary on the Holocaust because he's not educated on the matter. All that he knows is the number 6 million. That's all that he knows. So I think those two things, well, now we're comparing them. Yuga Labs founders way more advanced when it comes to their understanding of the Nazis. And so I think that puts them far and above a lot of other people, and their desire to be inspired by some of that writing, some of the visuals, some of those other sorts of things. I look at that and I say, you know, they know people that have really made an impact on society and history. So yeah, there is a high potential here.
Gotta love that. You gotta love that statement. Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is
never roll with that one. He's like, yes. So speaking of Nazis,
gotta love it. I personally think that, I think that the Yuga Labs team is doing an overall good job. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're doing fine. I think a lot of this FUD is literally just like priced down. And yeah, they're dealing with some ApeCoin issues. We all know why. So like, can you blame them? No, not really. And then we're not getting a lot of updates on other deeds, but that could kind of also be tied into like how they're trying to integrate ApeCoin. So there may be some delays around that as well, right? Like that's just like stuff they have to deal with as a business. I don't think any of these things we can really necessarily blame them for. I just think a lot of people are frustrated about price going down. Also, I don't think people understand that. I don't think staking your NFTs is bullish for ApeCoin anyways. I don't think, you know, I think it may be a repricing event. Like, so it's not like you're not getting like a free money airdrop or something like that. And I forget, when did ApeCoin and the news for Other Side even come out? Like, did Bored Ape Yacht Club, did that come out like in January? Was that a,
Sorry. Which
like, what news are you talking about? Like the news of the staking?
Yeah, no, like when did we know that like ApeCoin was coming out? When did we know that other deeds was going to be a drop?
I think when their deck was circulating, there was information about the token, correct?
Yeah, because like my point being is that basically like Bored Ape Yacht Club like got to 100 or above 100 ETH without the expectation of other deeds and without the expectation of ApeCoin. My point being is that I think a lot of these things, we're literally just dealing with a macro environment that's poor and people are getting frustrated by the price going down. And so they're trying to find things that like the project could be doing better. And of course, all projects could be doing things better or like different. My point being is that I don't think that if Bored Ape Yacht Club had a really cool other deeds promo video that came out last week, or if they got staking live on time, I don't think any of those would have made meaningful differences in the floor prices of like Bored Ape Yacht Club and Mutant Ape Yacht Club. I think we're just in this really weird environment where like crypto is risk on, NFTs is risk on, right? And I think almost like bullishness has to return to crypto before it can then flow into NFTs, right? Because you got to think about it like right now, like if you're like, oh, okay, I think things are going to be turning around like environment, like macro environmental wise. Are you going to buy a Bored Ape or are you going to be like, I just want to hold 70 ETH because this could go to 2,500 in like a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if most smart money kind of has that philosophy, you're not going to get massive inflows into NFTs. So it's kind of like a second order effect. So, and then I think that there is some sector rotations coming on. You have art pulled up, PL. Like I think a lot of people are focusing on art right now. And I know a lot of people are bullish on gaming. Like just PFPs may not be as hot the next cycle as they are this cycle.
And real quick, so a couple things. So number one, obviously we're being very harsh on the founders of this $1.5 billion business. And, you know, saying that the founders are not Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, or Jeff Bezos is just, it's the same thing as saying that they're not Michael Jordan, you know, Stephen Curry, or Kobe Bryant, right? So it's a really
And it's also hard, PO, to tell in motion, right?
Yeah.
And like 3 years from now, if they're a $10 billion company, we're going to be like, they pulled it off. They crushed it, right? Like some of these things are hard to call like in motion. Like Facebook 2012, it wasn't the consensus that this young kid, Mark Zuckerberg, was going to turn it into a $250 billion company.
There is a big issue, though, is the distinction of enterprise value. And when I look at Yuga Labs, what's the enterprise value of that business, basically? Like, and to me, it's closer to zero than anything else. And instead, the valuation was based on revenue being generated out of a channel, which is unsustainable, ultimately. Like, when we think about the only argument in support of it is the commissions that they get at this point, but it's something like, I don't know what percentage, but call it 10% of transactions are commission based as it applies to Yuga Labs at this point in time. Now, it sounds like they have like over 100 employees or 150 employees. That's like business value. When you have employees who are working at your company, another company can acquire that and you could put a price on that. If you like the number of engineers that you have times 200,000 is or $1 million, sorry, if you get like really high-end engineers, that's the value of your business. So you could say, oh, they have 200 all-time engineers, they're worth $200 million or something like that.
Well, and also, if they dropped a 10K mint at 3 ETH, do you think it would sell out same day?
No, I think people wouldn't buy it anymore. You know, they're done. No, I'm serious, but yes.
It would sell out.
So they have the ability, they could go out and literally generate $45 million in revenue on anything, dude, like at any point in time. So there's massive value. Yeah, there's massive value in that. Like if you told me they're dropping a 10K mecha ape thing, whatever.
We're all going to buy it.
Yeah, it's 2.5 ETH a pop. I'm like, cool, I'm getting
how five. Do I get on the white list?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, right? Do I, you know, how do I get in on this? So they have a ton of like brand equity built in. And once again, I think that they're operating fine. I think what they did is they played the bull market literally better than anybody else out there. They have a war chest in the hundreds of millions of dollars, right? And they're probably looking at like, why like pump out all this hype about other deeds now in this brutal macro bear market. But why use up all of that juice when it's really going to maybe best case scenario create a little pump and dump? Like, you know what I mean? Like we're in such a bear market that Elon Musk tweeting a crypto dick butt only sent the floor up by 1 ETH. Like, you have
pretty crazy.
Which is actually like crazy that that can happen, but also like in a bull market they would be at 9 ETH right now.
I mean, it's crazy that it was, dude. It's Elon Musk. It's How many million followers on Twitter? And so look, I got gaming companies by market cap pulled up right here. So I got Roblox at 27 billion. Is Roblox the only company you could say is even remotely comparable to Bored Ape Yacht Club? To Yuga Labs, because it's a gaming company that actually has assets.
Epic Games.
Well, no, Roblox is the only one that you can compare it to in the sense of Roblox has a decentralized or community driven product development. Like every other game is completely centralized, right? Like Call of Duty, they make the entire game, right? With Roblox, built more of a platform, and they have these developers building games on top that all of the kids and teenagers play, right? And that's what Sandbox is trying to do, and that's what the Other Side is trying to do. So in that regard, like Roblox is the only comparable that I see on this chart.
Okay, and Roblox is a $27 billion market cap, but I think a lot of people think that that's going to grow.
Yeah, I mean, well,
anyone who's buying their stock does.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. but I mean, look, I worked at Robinhood in Silicon Valley, and you compete against Roblox when you're trying to hire people at Robinhood. And I think a lot of people preferred to go to Roblox than to Robinhood, for example.
Well, that's because if you're a developer, would you rather work on something that's fun or focused on just making money?
Exactly. And if you're Roblox and you're stealing developers from other businesses in San Francisco / the United States, that's going to give you a lot of momentum. Like basically for businesses like this, software engineering talent is the single, you know, most important commodity.
You're proving the point that I was making earlier. How are they developing enterprise value? And ultimately it's their ability to recruit engineering talent is what I think about. I am curious, you know, what the shift of engineering talent to the Web3 space actually looks like. Let's say that Yuga Labs has 200 engineers. I'm being like ambitious with that estimate. That's nothing. Like, that's a drop in the bucket. There's like hundreds of thousands of engineers in the, like, just at Facebook probably has like 40,000, 50,000 engineers.
Roblox has 1,600.
What's that?
Roblox has 1,600, but then also the reason why that seems lean is because, once again, their business model is that there's other developers that isn't on Roblox's payroll that is building the whole ecosystem out.
Open source, right. At Robinhood, I don't remember my figures, but I feel like I individually was hiring like 8+ software engineers a month as like one guy, you know?
Google has 28,000.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know what's even more disgusting? Facebook has 87,000. How does Facebook have four times the amount of employees?
India. Yeah, Facebook India, basically, I think is the 32,000 on the tech side, 75,000 employees worldwide.
Yeah, that's wild. A lot of content control there. But yeah, I think that Yuga Labs is sort of, and people are going to hate this, but they're in sort of like a Meta Facebook situation. Meaning that, like, they've kind of maxed out the current playbook, and how they realize massive success is by making a very bold bet, right? Similar to Meta, everyone's selling Meta stock. I'm not saying go buy it. It's because it's a very risky bet, because basically Mark Zuckerberg's betting the whole company on the metaverse, right? Similar to how like Yuga Labs is betting a lot of their future on the metaverse, right? And it's a high risk, high reward kind of asymmetric bet. Like, if Other Deeds completely flops, it's bad news, you know, for the entire project. But if it takes off, then, you know, like the Roblox market cap number that we're looking at isn't crazy. And if you think like, you know, $26 billion, you know, Bored Ape Yacht Club is, you know, probably worth $400K in that scenario.
Hire engineers. That's the moral of the story. It sounds like.
I mean, look, I like this conversation. Someone, real quick, someone said, and they're cutting Twitter engineers. What the hell? That's because the Twitter engineers weren't doing anything. So that's one other thing to talk about is that some of these Silicon Valley companies, they get really fat and happy, the people that work there. And so the engineers just end up not doing anything. So you have to cut them. So on the subject of art pumping, I want to put a little asterisk. It's not art pumping. It's generative art pumping and specifically art block shit. And actually, art is kind of suffering. So look at this. So Nina Super Cool World pulling back. This is someone that's basically a darling of the art market right now, like the modern art market. I think the issue is 5,100 supply in this one. Let's pull up our previous sponsor, the Haas Brothers. Really cool stuff right here. 3D sculpture based on their highest selling physical sculpture that they've ever done. That sale was at like $250,000 for the single piece, which, like, look, if you're selling a single piece of art for $250,000, that's pretty big. But then you drop 4,400 NFTs and the market starts pricing it at like 0.03. And if you do the math on that market cap, I mean, if someone wants to
write, it's zero.
Okay. If you want to multiply 0.03 times 4,400 times whatever ETH cost.
One is 440. So it's 120 ETH.
Okay. I don't know how much ETH costs right now. If somebody wants to do the math on that market cap.
That's 120,000 plus 60. It's about $180,000.
Okay. So like this whole collection is being priced lower. I do doubt Nick's math sometimes, but this whole collection is being priced lower than, you know, the single sale of, you know, the one piece. But at the same time, look at the generative art. Meridian's about to hit a 10 ETH floor.
It's $98,000, by the way, is the correct amount.
All right, cool. Squiggles over here, $25,000 floor, way up over the past 120 days, way up, crazy. And if we start getting into things like what's Ringers just totally, 65 ETH floor, holding steady. Look at the activity.
The chart share my up. Screen real quick because you can't forget about Def Beef. I mean, this is the epitome. This is why, like, you know, some of this art, it's like, why is it down? Because it's not like Def Beef. Like, y'all ready for this?
You can't hear it.
What does it sound like? Exactly what it sounds like. Okay.
That's Web3 art.
Wait, I'm looking at the comments. Nick, was your math off by a full zero?
No. I basically ran it in my head, said 180,000, and it's 198,000.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's accurate. That's a 10% margin of error. I'll take that any day of the week. But yeah, so Pia, that's a really good call out, though. It's not like it's Mad Dog Jones pumping. It's not like it's Beeple pumping, right? It's like art blocks, generative art stuff that is doing very well right now. But when you, like, I think we've talked about this before, like art generally, like normal art does well during bear markets, right? It you know, rich people still like to buy things.
This thing's only $2,000 now. This is the what's it called? They renamed it. It wasn't called I No Longer Exist before. What was it called?
Yeah, I think he did some sort of burn or something like that.
Okay. Why would I care? I'm just a cat.
Yeah.
So this is $2,300. Let's see. It's hard to find his stuff on OpenSea.
I should really buy one of those because that's like a part of my life, my journey.
Sure. It absolutely is. Look, if we look at Beeple, right? What's the last sale? 3 weeks ago, you see a sale at no. It's that low. Bull Run is $23,000 now. So that's Kicks. Am I out to lunch on this? That's a pullback on something like this, right?
90% pullback. I mean, from the Pico top in like January, February, but
into the ether, 29K.
With his latest tweet, I mean, you know, all of these went down by like at least an ETH in value, you'd think.
Yeah. So basically, you're not seeing Beeple's work, for example, like experiencing the same pump as art blocks. It's generative art. And then you see QQL. QQL almost dipped below 10. Am I right about that, Kix?
I don't know how far it went. The lowest I saw it was like low 13s.
Okay. So maybe I'm wrong about that. But holding 14, which is what you paid for it, holding its value strong.
Yeah. It's going to be worth 1,400 ETH at one point in time. And then you'll never hear from me again.
All right. Nick, you look like you're really excited to be here. Any thoughts before we wrap? It looks like there's nothing you'd rather do than this show right now, buddy.
I was having a thought. Okay. Appreciate that.
What was the thought? I want to kill my co-host. I want to stick a knife into his rib cage.
I was looking up why Basie was trending, and it turned out there was no reason why. So I was doing research on the subject matter right now. That's what I was looking into.
One of the audience members brings up something relevant. Grant Yun, 2.3 floor, creeping up.
I love his art style.
Mm-hmm. The market is 100% favoring Grant Yun.
That one looks pretty nice. I like that.
You can make a case that Mr. Grant Yun is very original. I'm a big fan. Yeah.
What is that collection?
This is Grant Yun Editions. And I would argue that you might be able to scoop one through an offer, because if you look at the liquidity is scattered. Although it looks like offers these days need to be in the ballpark of 2 Ethereum. His other stuff is really, I mean, this guy could be a pretty big deal, honestly.
Yeah, if someone ever copies Grant Yun but does it like sci-fi, like modern civilization, you know what I mean? I'd lose a lot of money on that. But yeah, I love the Grant Yun style. That's really good. You know who's been crushing this market? Punk3770, that lady that we're all friends with.
Crypto4NFT.
Yeah, Crypto4NFT. She swung trade the QQLs, which is a great move in and of itself, but then also she like crushed the Chromie Squiggle trade. So I need to be getting alpha from her a little bit more often, but she definitely kind of saw the at least the Chromie Squiggle, if not like the overall kind of like art rotation that we've been seeing.
The Grant Yun, he's making those individually, right? Like that's not a generative art project.
Yeah, it's individual.
I think he's an AI. Oh, he's a real. I thought he was an AI. He's a real person.
It's
okay.
Yeah. Yes.
He was actually a machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, word on the street is Grant Yun is actually just a machine. I don't know. Look at this piece. This thing absolutely slaps. I don't know how much this was originally purchased. It looks like for 5 ETH. Looking like an absolute steal right now. It's so interesting to see who the market. Yeah, that was Grant Yun. Yeah. It's so interesting to see who the market favors. For example, last Grant Yun sale on this collection last month, 25 ETH, $40,000. Basically, the whales that only participate on the fine art side of the market, they dictate who's popular, and they want Grant Yun right now. They don't want people.
Do you think they pick artists like wanting to be popular based on like if that artist brings like really good drugs to parties? So like if you're an artist and you bring like some fire cocaine,
yes.
You think there's a correlation there? Like that guy, he knows how to fucking party. Like he's the next big one.
I also think there's categories of art buyers, PO, like in terms of like Beeple being out. Beeple was in, but it felt like a different class of collector. Like you don't see DC investor padding his bags with Beeples. Like it's just not a thing.
Does Cosimo de Medici buy Beeple?
It was all a coordinated pump and dump by that B12 guy, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean that's
yeah, and you're right, Nick. Everybody definitely does have different art styles. I lean more to kind of the postmodern dystopian art styles like this. But you know, everybody, you know,
are these the hobos?
Fucking hobos, dude. If you want to know the profile pic that will get you the lowest engagement possible, I rocked a crypto hobo for about a week. I didn't even make it over 10 likes on a lot of tweets. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the NFT show. It's a show of two co-hosts that really like being here and one co-host that has better things to do.
You're reading into my like my face for a moment when I'm like reading something. And like,
hey, everybody, but he's got a Bored Ape behind him, so he gets to pass everybody, okay?
Nick, I was on a like a corporate phone call in a different career. And at one point in time, like 4 years ago, at one point in time, someone was like looking down at their phone for a second, and the person on the call that was like project leading it, like called them out for looking down on their phone. And it was like the most awkward shit in my life. Cause at the same time I'm on my computer, like tabbing, you know what I mean? But at least I'm staring at the screen and I was just like,
I feel a similar sort of vibe though, primarily when you're having a meeting with somebody. Pio's the king of this. Like he'll be literally like on Discord, on Slack, on Twitter DMs and his phone in the middle of meetings a consistent basis. Basically, every meeting that's longer than 5 minutes, you can just about guarantee that he's going to be doing one of those things. And it's definitely a source of frustration, but
that's why I have a mechanical keyboard. It keeps me authentic, honest, because you know, like you hear that. If I'm firing off a quick email, you know.
There you go. Happy Halloween, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks for watching. Like the video, smile. Like the video, share the video. Catch you guys next time. Happy Halloween.
Halloween day, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, eat that candy.